Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. I do appreciate the things that have been shared here so far today. And trust that it was an encouragement, a blessing. My thoughts are very much where Josh was in his thoughts. But I'm coming from a different angle. He's coming from the next generation perspective. And I'm coming from the senior generation perspective. And there is a difference. So. Why don't we just take a moment, if you're able, stand with me, and we will have a brief prayer. Father, we are here in the name of the Lord Jesus. We've never been gathered this way before, Father, on this day. And we thank you for the assembly of your people. Thank you for those who are committed to your kingdom, your cause, your Son, the Lord Jesus. And Father, this morning we pray for any individual who would be here who is not committed to that cause and understands the call, that you would in mercy continue to draw that heart to yourself. For you have said in your word that no man can come to you except you draw them. And the Lord Jesus said when he is lifted up from the earth, he will draw all manner of men to himself. And he has done that and continues to do that, and we thank you for that, Father. Thank you that the invitation continues to go out to humanity to come to Jesus, to find healing from the sting of sin, from the bite of the serpent of sin, to find healing, to find new life, find new opportunities to have our sins forgiven and to walk in an open relationship with our Maker, with you, Father. So thank you for that, Father. Thank you for that opportunity. Thank you for making that possible. And today again, we ask, Lord, that you would extend that invitation to any soul who has not yet made their calling and election sure with you. So, Father, commit that part to you. And, Father, the rest of this service, as we share some things from the Word of God, again, we ask for your Spirit to guide my thoughts, give me order in my thoughts. And Lord, I pray that the things I share could be meaningful in the continuing of the congregation here. And I pray, Father, that there would only be things shared that are honoring to you. So we commit this time to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I have a handout here today. Not something that I've done very often, but thought it would be helpful, not only for today, but possibly for several messages that I may share in the over the next few months. We'll see how the message goes today, which may help me understand where to go in the future. But if things I at least have a vision of possibly sharing a few messages that this could be a springboard. So just take one and pass it back. There's 30 per side. I think the men's side might actually run a little short, but there should be one for each parent and youth. If we run a little short, we can get a few at a later time, perhaps. Don't have my phone with me. I could send a few out electronically, but we tell you to keep your phones away, so I won't do that, at least not at this point. So maybe I'll just, while those are being passed out, I'll share a little bit where I'm coming from. First of all, yes, I am coming from the perspective of that the thought that Josh shared, that we are, I, as one of the senior pastors here, am getting older. And the time is coming where it's necessary for younger men to be called to the places of responsibility in the church. It's not only the church that these things are real. You know, life, as a young person, life is kind of a, it's before you, it's kind of a wide scope. Maybe I'll try to illustrate it a bit. You know, we life starts out here kind of small and narrow, and as we get older, it gets bigger and wider, and life, you know, encompasses many things. You know, we could put various things in here, you know, as a young boy, it's in school, one of the exciting points is when your last day of school is over, and then it's turning 16 and getting your driver's permit, and then getting your license, and then it's turning 17. I'm kind of giving my culture away here, where I come from. It's 17, and you get to start going with the youth, and those kind of things. And after a while, you might even have it in your scopes to find that someone special and get married. And then it might be children. It's a lot of things. It's all, you know, it's forward. It's a wide open world. It's opportunities. It's for some, and for me particularly. I grew up on a farm. I was the youngest in the family, and my dad's theory was that if I help him with the farming, that I have first opportunity to take the farm over from him, which I did that. I was game for that. I was only 24 when my dad approached me about buying the farm, which I totally didn't expect it at that point. But life is simply what we're saying. Life is, you know, and and we're all different. And I don't want to, hopefully, the last thing I want to do is start to illustrate a life that you begin to compare and feel like, whoa, you know, I don't measure up or whatever. I don't want to do that. But anyhow, life is large, but there comes a point. And there's opportunities, and you all who know me well kind of know the opportunities that I continued with. But there comes a point where it starts to do this again. It starts to narrow down a bit. And that continues. And your responsibilities and your visions, they grow less and less, and actually, I had the opportunity yesterday to accompany my dad to a communion service at the Lincoln Elderly Care Facility, and he's down here. The things have wound down pretty narrow to the point where life, it's just a matter of living until you pass from here to there. It's that way for both of my parents, even more so for my mother. But that's kind of the scope of life, and I'm not sure where, but somewhere I crossed this boundary. I'm not sure when it was, but I'm not going to deny it. I would be a fool to deny it. We begin the narrowing process. We begin the divesting process, where the responsibilities that we've had, we don't keep adding more. We rather begin to divest those responsibilities and put them on the shoulders of the coming generation. And I'm thankful that we can do that. I'm thankful the coming generation is willing to step up and shoulder the responsibilities and opportunities that are before them. Of course, for that to be happened effectively, I do need to let go, need to give space. And I do it gladly. I do it gladly on the side of business and all of that. There just comes a point where we just don't have the energy to shoulder all the magnitude of things, and it's a blessing when the younger generation is there and ready to step in the harness. Sometimes it's a common problem that we wait too long to do that, to step back and let the next generation step up. That was something that I didn't want to do, not in the business level and not in the church level either. I think I know myself, I will probably err on the side of stepping back too abruptly, too quickly. That's probably going to be where I'll err, quicker than hanging on. But maybe I'll surprise myself yet, I don't know. But anyhow, that said, you have that paper in front of you, and I'd like to, I'm just going to erase this. I think the illustration was accomplished there. I'd like to I'd like to share a message today, and like I said, maybe some future messages that are, for one thing, reflective, looking back to where, and in this case, it's going to be where I came from, and then maybe casting a bit of vision going forward. Some encouragements that I want to give to you all as we Yeah, as we think about the continuing development of the congregation here. You have that paper in, or that, the paper, those of you that have it, the left side is the Christian, the right side is the world, and I'm going to talk about our relationship on a number of different levels, and that's where the probably some multiple messages will probably come in. Today, we're actually going to go to the bottom of the left side column and discuss our obligation to this generation. I retitled that paragraph three times until I was satisfied with the title of it. So I am going to share a message, and I might flip back and forth between these two pages some here. And I've titled today's message, Our Obligation to This Generation. Like I said, reflecting a bit on the past and encouragement into the future. So just before we, or just to get us started here, our obligation to this generation, you see some of the verses that I have there. Just a quick synopsis of Jesus' teachings. Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then Mark's rendition, and he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then I have Matthew 28:19, and I have that one in the ESV. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So, our obligation to this generation. Do we have an obligation to this generation? To the world that we live in? In other words, we have, on the left side of that paper, we have the Christian. And we're talking about the Christian. We're not, And on the other side, we have the world. And do we as Christians have an obligation to those on the other side of that column? And notice I have a fairly dark line in the middle there, and a little wider, not just a little slip, thin margin. We'll discuss that from different angles in different messages. Do we have an obligation? Is there an obligation? Is obligation the right term to use? Obligation is actually a fairly strong word. It's like it's something we don't have an option otherwise. I think we do have an obligation for in this generation, in this time. Is our obligation to the world over there, out there? Is that where our obligation lies? Or is our obligation to Christ? Where is the emphasis? Where is the focus? Just some things to kind of provoke our thinking a little bit. Our obligation. So I'd like to share just a bit of history, and again, like I said, it's personal history, and maybe I feel a little bit like Josh mentioned, maybe I feel a little bit like I'm making myself vulnerable. I tend to be a private person by nature, but It's sometimes said when a person's getting older, and it's sometimes said, "Hey, we should ask them about this or that before, while their brain and mind is still good enough to recollect the memories." You know, those things get said, and So I'm going to take the liberty to take you on just a little bit of a journey through my experience, and it's obviously going to be just little spots here and there. But I grew up in a very small world. You know, we're talking now, our subject today is our obligation to this generation, meaning the world around us in the generation that we live. I personally grew up in a very small world. The church building that we attended was a half a mile from our house. The school was a mile, maybe a mile and a half the other direction. Paul B. Zimmerman was not too far away over toward Ephrata. When we wanted to visit a church community on the east side of Reading called Walnut Town, it was like taking a trip. We changed the oil in the car before we went. It was a long ways, and we did that once in a great, great while. Once in a while, I did have an aunt and uncle that moved to New York State, I think actually several over the course of time, and then a cousin as well. Sometimes my parents would take my grandparents, who were, when I was a child, were still living and well enough to travel, but wouldn't have made the trip themselves. My parents would take my grandparents, and I would ride along in a car, the five of us, and we would leave at 4 o'clock in the morning, make that 6-7 hour drive, visit for about 3-4 hours, and turn around, come back home, and sleep in our beds that night. And that was a trip. That's how that worked. In my childhood years, as a family, we never ate at a restaurant. Never. Not one time. My first time going to a restaurant was with youth, and I don't remember if it was McDonald's or Pizza Hut, but I know I was almost embarrassed because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to order a burger, you know. Anyhow, that's how life was. Somewhere in my youth, I did start learning about a program called Northern Youth Programs, which is in northern Canada. Started hearing about that kind of a thing, so that, you know, never visited, but heard about it. The periodicals we would have gotten in our home would have been the Pathway Papers, Young Companion, Blackboard Bulletin, and the Christian Example. Somewhere along the way, we started getting that one, which I forget. Was that an Eastern or whoever put that one out? So those were the periodicals that we would have had. Life was pretty small, even though I probably didn't realize it was small. How would you like that, Stephen? How about just stepping back in time and stepping into my life and living life that way, huh? No Ukraine trips. Anyhow, life was definitely small. Of course, as a youth, joining a youth group and getting you know, some friends and a little bit of a bigger world there. And I'm not exactly sure if I remember the years, but after Beverly and I were married, Beverly's parents went to Haiti. Served there several years, we never did get to visit them while they were down there, but it did broaden our horizons just a little bit. Was that after we were after the gospel tent meetings where God changed our lives. I would assume it was, but I'm not sure. Anyhow, I think, yeah, it probably was. That small world view started expanding tremendously. So in the summer of 1990, we attended gospel tent meetings over in Ephrata, where the Sharp Shopper now resides. Was a hayfield, and Gospel Express had tent meetings, and God began a work in our lives that changed the course of our lives majorly. That was summer, midsummer, and it was by the end of that year that we had made the decision to actually begin attending charity on a regular basis, Charity Christian Fellowship in Leola. As we contemplated that decision, we obviously, I knew nothing of charity before that summer. I had heard, looking back, I had my dad, we would visit what was A.B. Martin Building Materials and Supplies back in those days was a couple old Joe Wanger Team Mennonite men who run that business, old Amos, and we frequented that business frequently with all the things we had going on the farm. And that was kind of a place where you caught up to all the news. And I remember my dad and them talking about this church that was going to function without rules. And I'm pretty sure they were talking about charity, but I had no idea. I don't remember the word. But I do remember that talk. Otherwise, I knew nothing of it, never heard of it. It wasn't until after the tent meetings that we were started getting introduced to tapes and became aware that the congregation even existed. I was one who had intended to never leave my church. I was committed. And I had seen one of my brothers leave, and I had been the youngest, and I was at home, and I heard my parents process all of that, and I had purposed I wasn't going to leave, but God worked in our lives, and anyhow, in that whole process of evaluating our congregation and evaluating what do we want in the future of our lives, we considered several options. Actually, at that time, Beverly's parents were at the Mid-Atlantic Church in Pleasant Valley, and that would have probably could have been an easy switch for us, but I was conservative. I was not open to, it just wasn't where I wanted to go with my family. I just say it that way. I considered Eastern. But that wasn't quite what I wanted either. The heavy structure just didn't feel like it was what I wanted. And so anyhow, we weighed in on those things a bit, and eventually we visited charity and eventually decided to put our roots down there in fall, end of 1990. And, of course, we would have been there for 5 years until Harmony started in 1995, and the major part of our experience has been at Harmony and then here. Anyhow, just thinking a little bit about the major expansion of worldview when we went to charity. It was a time when there was what I'm going to call an awakening happening across the United States and even in other places. The charity tape ministry in those years was a very strong influence, tapes being sent out by the hundreds. There were revival meetings happening in various places. We traveled, Beverly and I traveled some. I traveled some to places where meetings were being held for a weekend or part of a week or whatever. Meeting people, going places, like I said, from this very small, isolated Lancaster County boy to just... Lots of opportunities. The first time I flew on an airplane, I flew as Denny Keniston, and my wife flew as Jackie Keniston. So there was Denny and Mose had a trip planned to Montana to Flat Willow Colony, a Hutterite colony that was a converted some converted folks, and. For some reason, Denny and Jackie couldn't go, and they offered it to whoever wants to go. And in those days, we just took their tickets, and we flew. And we were Denny and Jackie for one day, for one weekend. You'd never do that today, but that's how it worked then. Our world focus expanded majorly. There were many people visiting Charity, wanting to know more about it, had heard tapes. We had guests in our home. Many of them, we had occasionally a troubled youth in our home for a time, different things like that. Just a total change of from where I'd come from. Lots of outward focus. Street witnessing. I remember going to Lancaster City. I remember going to Lititz, walking the streets. New Holland Fair, Green Dragon, New York City occasionally. Just various places of... street preaching, handing out tracts, talking to people. There was a time there where we had one of the tape duplicating equipment sets in our home, and we were making the duplicating the tape sets for the tape ministry. That was a few years of that. Focusing on and just recognizing having gone from a totally confined little isolated Lancaster County farm boy to vast opportunities, just very, very different opportunities that before I, yeah, didn't know existed. Of course, I'm focusing on that outward focus. Do we have an obligation to this generation? Somewhere along the way, though, of course, the subject of homeschooling was one we faced, and I think my wife's first response was, that's not for her. But by the time it came to it, she was ready and wanted to. Actually, I never put no pressure on. I don't know. I certainly wasn't going to force her into something. But she was ready for it and willing for it. But what I did do is I got this vision to add to our children's experience. So I had, like I said, grown up on this little world. And now our children are being schooled at home. And... while on one hand, their world's a whole lot bigger than mine was because there's a lot more things going on. But on the other hand, now they're being schooled at home. I went to a school. So I got this vision that we can sell flowers along the road there, and it can add to their homeschool experience. This will be a practical, hands-on experience. They'll get to count out change. They'll get to relate to people. That was the vision for all of that, which we did. Started in spring of 97, I think it was. We started selling flowers, buying them from the Oberholzer family because they had greenhouses. And yeah, that went where it went, as many of you know. It became a family business, much more than we ever anticipated or never even imagined. And the goal was to give our children opportunity to develop relational skills by interacting with customers, wanting their worldview to be larger than mine had been. And, you know, that business presents many, many opportunities. I think we probably have missed many, many opportunities. I know we have. But it does present many, many opportunities to connect with and interact with our community and beyond. My wife had the experience, I think it was just this spring, where a lady came into the met her in the greenhouse and came up to her and just, "You saved my life." And my wife, whoa, she had no clue where this lady's coming from or where she's going. And so after the lady talked a bit and explained herself, this lady had been in the previous year. She had been in very difficult times in her life. She talked to my wife. My wife must have said some right things because she saved her life. She was never realizing it, never knew that she had been there for a person in a difficult time in their life. I suspect those things have probably happened more than we realize on one hand. On the other hand, I think there's probably been plenty of opportunities that we could have taken or even sought for that we've missed. I'm going to simply be upfront and admit that. Life gets quite busy. I'll say it this way. I'm who I am. Someone else could walk in my same shoes in that business, and you would probably seize opportunities that I don't seize, and I recognize that. But that's where God has put us in that perspective, and it's been actually a tremendous blessing to have that opportunity and now to see the next generation hopefully continue that and maybe improve on what we've done. That would be my goal, if they could actually improve on it, especially, I'm going to say, improve on the idea of being there for people and connecting and, keeping that vision. So life, going from one small isolated life to, just lots of opportunities. And, you know, those opportunities, many of those opportunities, I was just there at the right time to be able to fit into it. You know, I wouldn't have made half of those opportunities happen myself if it would have depended on me. But being there at the right time, or being there at that time, and the opportunities were before us, many of them, and I thank God for that. I thank God for the opportunities that that we had, You know, not everything about the charity revival movement was solid and lasting, but I think we have to give honor. I don't know if that's the way to say it. Give honor to whom honor is due. I think we have to recognize that part of the reason that we are here today, just the way we are, is because of that movement back there. If it hadn't been for that, I don't exactly know this would be. So, anyhow. So, casting our vision for the future. I'm thrilled. I'm grateful that I was allowed to have the opportunity to be in a place where I could have many of those opportunities and experiences of people through our homes. It was kind of interesting. Some of these things go back a number of years, but my mind would, as I allowed my mind to go back there and think about different things, the different memories of situations that I hadn't thought about in a long time. What a blessing! What a joy to have had those opportunities. We read those verses there in Matthew and Mark and Luke. And then here I have some other verses, and these are also in these Gospels. Matthew 16, verse 25 says this, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Then Mark says it this way. I'll read Luke's, and I want us to turn to Mark. Luke says it this way, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake the same shall save it." And then Mark 8, if you'll turn to Mark 8. We're talking about an outward focus. Mark 8. And I'm going to start in verse 31, Mark 8:31, and I think I'll read to the end of the chapter. "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again." So the context of what we're reading is that very verse right there. He's teaching them. "And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he, Jesus, rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So these verses, one of the things that I see in these verses is that the idea of an outward focus versus an inward focus. Denying ourselves. He that will save his life shall lose it. He that will focus inwardly and focus on himself and on what's in it for him, he's going to lose out. the person who will focus outwardly and see what he can, how he can contribute and make a difference and be a blessing and be there for others, he will find his life. He will find purpose. He will find joy. He will find what he was would have looked for in the first place anyhow. But it's found not by going after and trying to seize upon it. It's found by giving it, giving life, giving a way, giving a sharing, an outward focus. And that's what I see in these verses. Jesus, in this text, was explaining to the disciples that he is going to suffer and die. And in other words, he was sharing what he's going to do, on what's going to happen to him on behalf of humanity. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. Same idea. And Peter rebukes him and says, this cannot happen to you. And Jesus rebukes Peter and says that he's not savoring the things of the kingdom. He's actually being a coy in the hand of the devil at that moment. And that as we go through life, if we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and basically, verse 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. And it's the same idea of when we deny ourselves and we take up the cross, it's like giving our lives away. It's like versus if we try to protect our lives and try to take care of ourselves, it's like trying to take care of ourselves, and we lose it in that context. So these verses encourage us to not just be holed up in our own little world. And may I say, be holed up in our own little church. Because it happens. Unfortunately, it can happen to us as individuals, but it can also happen to us as churches or church congregation, where our focus becomes us and who we are and what we want to be, and not wrong things, but it becomes our focus, and it becomes where we live and where what our conversations are and what we eat, breathe, and sleep. You know, frankly, if we're not careful, while we're trying to retain who we are, and if we don't do it in the right way, we might actually lose who we are because of our improper focus. So I would like to encourage us here in casting just a bit of vision for the future. I would like to encourage us to cultivate that outward focus in our lives and in the lives of our children. And that's going to look different for different ones of you. You live in different homes. You are in different communities. Though that's not so different, but you have different occupations. Some of you are farmers. Some of you are construction workers. Some of you are drive truck for a living. Yeah, it's going to look different for different ones of you, but cultivate that focus, an outward focus. And maybe we could try to think about some ways that we can do that. And we'll start just in our own communities, to look for opportunities in our own communities. It could be as simple as and when I say our own communities, I mean it could be right where we live in the next door neighbors, or it could be out yonder further. It could be that yonder distant town where you help someone. But It could be as simple as helping someone change a flat tire in their car. Doesn't happen as often as it did years ago that tires go flat, but still once in a while. It could be as simple as helping someone clean up after a storm or a fire or a flood or, whatever. Going and helping, taking opportunity. Could be doing projects for elderly in the community or widows in our communities. It could be singing at the elderly care homes where they so much appreciate that, generally speaking. But taking those opportunities to put in the hearts of your children an outward focus. In other words, a focus not just on ourselves. It might even be at Christmas time when this Christmas season, most of the world is honing in on getting their gifts and on getting and getting and getting and getting, and then the day after they've gotten, going back to Walmart to return the things they didn't like, the color, and exchange it for the color they want. To shun that whole foolishness and instead focus on being intentional in teaching our children to give at a time like that, where we, whatever it is, whether it's doing a project. I actually on my desk at home there, I had thought to bring it along, but I guess I had too many things I was bringing already. But I had a little CAM project booklet that they put out about this time of the year. Probably many of you got it too. Lots of nice little projects that either projects they can do or little projects they can fund. So I think there was something that was $9. I'm trying to remember what it was. Was it a chicken? Was it a... Not remembering, but it was something. And I thought, if parents could take a book like that, look at these different opportunities, discuss it with their children, have their children decide what project they'd like to support, have them understand why they're doing it, here we sit, we have a bed, we have a nice home, it's insulated, there's heat, when the snow's blowing, we're comfortable, we have a bed to crawl into at night, we have covers to pull up over ourselves, we can, if we get chilly, we just add another cover, and we can talk to our children about the fact that across the world, in this country or in that country, there's people that don't have that. There's people living in tents because they got chased out of their country, their homes, because of war. And in order to try and stay alive, they ran and left everything behind. And we talk to our children about those kind of things and give them an outward focus, realizing that there are people in the world who are, because of circumstances, not because of who the people are, but because of the circumstances that life brought their way, they're much less privileged than we are. They're not enjoying the comforts that we are. And to be able to put it in the hearts of our children, a compassion and a care, and to, in whatever ways, and even in just small ways, remember the widow's mites, Jesus, those little things that can be done for the kingdom, sometimes maybe we're tempted to think that, a $9 chicken, or I forget what that was, it don't seem like much. Well, let's not underestimate God in that. So, I want to encourage us in that, looking for those opportunities and having the conversations with our children as they grow up and as they develop and as they begin to understand life, to have those conversations where they understand the need to have a heart that is turned outward and has compassion and cares about the needs of the world, rather than just honing in on our own lives and our comforts and, yeah. So those are ways that we can encourage and develop and continue to have a vision for the needs of humanity. And, you know, kind of started here and moved on to other parts of the world. And, you know, there's mission programs, there's missionaries, there's whether it's our missionaries that we are working with and supporting. Stay informed. Keep your families informed about the mission efforts that are going on, whether it's, and it doesn't need to be one certain mission necessarily, and we don't have to be isolated to one mission opportunity, but keep them informed about mission programs and people and missionaries and what is being done. Again, the SALT program that has been developed, and there's another one, and I forget what that one's called, a similar basis. Tremendous programs, tremendous opportunities that they bring to using that platform to bring the gospel, and also using that platform to help people actually. It's the disciplines of being able to take what they have and make it work in their lives. And what a blessing. So I already mentioned CAM. They're a good source for many information and opportunities. And definitely encourage that. I'd like to just try to keep moving here. I'd like to just draw our attention a little bit to Matthew 25, and you can turn there. I believe most of you are familiar with this scripture. Again, our obligation to this generation. Matthew 25:31 says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them that are on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous say, answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? When saw we thee in sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." And again, that's that outward focus, ministering to the needs around us, the opportunities that are before us. I'd like to just encourage that as a congregation, as families, as individuals, as families, and as a congregation, to cultivate that outward focus, looking for opportunity to touch our world and the people of our world with a kind deed, meeting a need in whatever ways and capacities God puts before us, that we, yeah. I'd like to close it with the words, actually the words of a song. I knew it first as a poem, and then as I searched for it, I came up as a song, and it seems to have a few different renditions, but mostly the same. But it's as follows. It says, actually, it's by Charles Meigs, something like that. It says, Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer might be for others. And there is a refrain, but I'm going to read all the verses and then I'll do the refrain at the end. Second stanza, help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again, except to live for others. So when my work on earth is done, when my new work in heaven be gone, I'll praise you for the crown I've won, but praise you more for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, that while I've lived for others, I may have lived like thee. Could we kneel together, if you're able, pray? Father, we quiet our hearts before you. And again, just acknowledge our need. Acknowledge our need, Father, of caring for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Father, I pray that you would meet our needs in this and give us a passion and a care for the needs of humanity, for the generation that we live in. Our world has more hurting people, more isolated people, more confused people than it's ever had. Father, in the realm of influence that we each of us hold, help us to make a difference in someone's life and to have that focus. Lord, bless each of us, each person, each family in this congregation, and help us to continue to grow in grace and to continue to make a difference in the lives of not only among us, in the lives of our families, but also in the lives of our communities. So again, thank you, Lord, for where you have brought us to, and pray that you would continue to lead us, to guide us, to make us what you want us to be, right here, right now, in this time, in this place. So thank you, Lord, for your continued work in our lives. We bless you in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen.